couple of things to call your attention. First of all, we want to thank God for his generosity in giving us good weather for our Oktoberfest. We also thank all of you who are volunteers, who worked at setup and worked the booths and so forth, and those of you who spent money to buy tickets, that most of which didn't win, but that's okay. We thank you. And also, today it would be the feast of Saints Joachim and Anne, but of course the Sunday supersedes that. But Saints Joachim and Anne were the parents of Mary, so they are the grandparents of Jesus. And so it's a good day for us to remember and pray for our grandparents, and to ask God to bless those who are our grandparents or great-grandparents and so forth, because again, they are important people. There was a fellow teaching catechism, he's talking about honesty, and he said, if you came upon $1 million that was lost, would you return it or would you keep it? And one of the kids said, it depends. Depends on what, the teacher said. Depends on whether the one person who lost it was a rich person or a poor person. That's it. As I've said, they're not all gems. The point is, of course, how many poor people would have $1 million? Again, the important thing is to think about what we find and what we do with it. Solomon asked God in the first reading for an understanding heart. He asked for wisdom. And he receives that gift abundantly. Even though later he will squander that gift, when in pride he begins to think that he believes his own press, he thinks he doesn't have to do what the Lord calls him to, and he marries pagan wives and builds temples for them, breaking the covenant relationship with God. In the gospel, a man finds the treasure, and to keep it, he sells everything so he can buy that field. The merchant finds a great pearl of great price and buys it. Now, I understand the treasure in the field, because buying that field, he can legally use that treasure. I don't understand the pearl. What good is just having it? But I'm thinking too much about the physical value of the things and not about what they mean. There are many things that we have that are not of great monetary value. Things that we love because they have been given to us by a loved one or because they signify certain things in our lives. For instance, my chalice. Before I was ordained to the diaconate, before I even entered the major seminary, my parents gave me money to buy my chalice because they said they didn't think they would live long enough to see me ordained. As it was, however, I celebrated their funeral masses 11 and 12 years after I was ordained. So the chalice that I have is plated with gold in the cup and the top of the paten, and it's silver, but again, it's not of great physical value. You wouldn't get too much for it if you decided to melt it down. But it means a lot more to me because, again, it is a sign of that love that my grandparents had for me, to provide it for me. We now talk then about what the gospel means. I think it's talking really about faith and our relationship with Christ. If I understand, however imperfectly, the love that God has for me, with all of my failures, with all of my sins, what does that mean that I should do? First of all, I must respond in faith and respond in love because I love God who has given me these things, so I can respond more and more faithfully to that love that he has given me. And I need to give God the worship of my heart in prayer and worship as in the sacraments. And it means I have to share that love that I have received from him with those around me, even though they may not be particularly lovable. It means I have to accept my limitations, rejoicing in spite of them. It means seeking forgiveness from God for my sins, particularly in the sacrament of penance, and seeking forgiveness from those whom I have hurt. It also means being forgiving and seeking to be reconciled with those who have hurt me. It means that I have to understand that in spite of my difficulties, whether great or small, yet, as Paul says, all things work together for the good. And though I can't always see how that's working for the good, I have to understand and respond with faith and hope that having been called to a relationship with the Lord, I have been justified, set right in my right relationship with the Lord, and I've been glorified. And that means I'm called to follow the glorification by living eternal life here and now in this moment, to live the fullness of sanctifying grace that I may have it here in this world and forever in the world to come.